joining us right now.
Oh, man, one of your favorites, bro.
One of my all-time favorites.
Oh, my God.
And now he made his broadcasting debut the other night. I wasn't sure. How good can Richard Jefferson be as a broadcaster? He's just the greatest game analyst of all time. He's already gotten there after one game.
After one game.
It's amazing. And that, of course, is the NBA champion, though he didn't do it with my team, Richard Jefferson. Richard, Joe and Evan, how are you?
Richard, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
I want to start by apologizing to you. About 14 years ago, you were at a club, all right? And me, as a geeky, redheaded Net fan, I approached you while you were trying to have a good time, and I said, Richard, all I want to do is tell you you're the best, and I love you, and it was very awkward. And you shook my hand, and you smiled, and God knows what you were thinking. You're probably thinking, can you get this moron away from me? But you were a class dude. So, Richard, you may not remember that, but I apologize for the awkwardness at the club that night.
No, you shouldn't apologize. You should probably apologize to the security guard because you got him fired, right? As soon as you walked away, and I was like, you're not doing your job. How did you let anyone get that close to me?
See.
He got fired. I haven't seen him since. Who knows what happened to him? So, you don't have to apologize to me. You probably have to find that guy.
Well, you know what? He's a guy that's worked one game with Iron Eagle, and he already's just as funny as Iron Eagle. How about that?
Ian is a legend, man.
He is that.
I wouldn't say I'm as funny as him yet.
Yeah.
How did it feel, because you just retired 5 minutes ago, basically. How did it feel sitting there watching two of your former teams, one team you played with not that long ago, and sitting there and being an analyst after all these years of playing in the league? How did it feel?
No, it was really special, man. And I have to, one, Frank DeGrace, our producer, did a really, really good job because, my very first game happened to be in Cleveland. And then obviously, with the Nets, like that combo. So I felt very, very comfortable. I always would keep one eye on the Nets. A lot of my brothers also, are still on the Cavs, and I'm very familiar. So, it was kind of like it was a dream first game for me. It was probably an ideal situation.
All right, how about this Net team right now, Richard? 2-2 so far. They got a tough game tonight against the Pelicans. Obviously, you're down there in New Orleans. But do you like what you see so far? Do you think this team could make a playoff run this year?
I think, everything's about sustainability. You look at they were hit with the injury bug kind of early. And so they're just now starting to get guys back. They just got Shabazz back. They just got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson back. And it always amazes me. You look at teams like Golden State Warriors. They've been to the finals for four straight years. Mm. They've been to the finals playing all of these games, and every single guy was healthy to start the season. Where the Nets hadn't been in the playoffs in X amount of years, but they have a ton of injuries. So a lot of your good fortune over the course of a season is based off being healthy. So if they're healthy, I think they have a chance to have a solid season.
You were on, besides being with Cleveland, which a lot of people remember over the last couple of years, you were on the Warrior team before they put it all together. Young Steph Curry, young Klay Thompson, Mark Jackson's the head coach. As you're on that team, could you feel the greatness that was coming? Could you sense what type of monster they were going to soon turn into?
Oh, I don't think anyone could sense that. I was there the first year they made the playoffs. They actually upset Denver that year. I did feel that they had a chance to be very, very good. No, what you never know when you start talking about dynasties and stuff like that. And I think, the addition of Kevin Durant, is huge, without a doubt.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously, it's without a doubt. Do I think that they win X amount of championships if he doesn't go there, even though they won 73 games the year before he showed up? I don't know. But I did feel like they're all – like when you first get around a group of guys, when your stars are first and foremost great people, when your stars are hardworking people, and when they're humble – that is a recipe for success. And Steph and Clay, those guys are that way. They're good people. They're humble. They're fun. They enjoy the game. And so when your best players, who are future Hall of Famers, are that way, you have a very good chance.
Talking to Richard Jefferson, of course, now part of the Nets broadcasting team. Tremendous player. Just a wonderful career. You played on, at least in the NBA years, the greatest Nets teams we've ever seen, with Jason Kidd and Keith Van Horn and Kerry Kittles and Kenyon Martin and you and all of that. You went to the finals 2 years in a row. How about those teams, Richard? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you ran up against a Laker juggernaut the first time. You had a shot against San Antonio. It didn't quite work out. But how about those two, you know, those years that you played with those really, you know, really the best net teams they've had in the NBA?
Well, you know, it was amazing for me coming out of college. I was fortunate I played in the national championship game.
Yep.
But, you know, it was all about our mindset, right? Like, you know, so many times you want to show up place and people want to tell you what hasn't been done, or, you know, say that, oh, no Nets team has ever done this, or they've never seen success. And it's like, look, I never played on the team in 1978 when they only, you know, won 12 games. I didn't play on that team when, you know, they eventually had the number one pick. The only thing I knew was, you know, play hard and see what happens. And so it taught me at a very, very young age to not listen to all the people around you talk about what can't be done or what hasn't done. It's just about, you know, controlling your own narrative. And I was fortunate to learn that very early. So, you know, I've been a part of other teams that kind of changed out, even that Golden State team, just being a leader on that team as a veteran leader to be like, hey, turn all that noise out. Like, none of that matters. It only matters what we do and what we control.
It wasn't just a great team. It was an exciting team. Have you ever thought about what it would have been like being on that team if it was in Brooklyn as opposed to New Jersey, and what it would have been like in New York City as opposed to playing in East Rutherford?
Yeah, we used to all talk about that as a team. Now, we embraced, you know, our fan base, and it was tough. That's part of the reason why they had to move, is that when you're playing in the NBA Finals and you have young, athletic, fun to play, and you can't sell out a building, of course those conversations kind of come up. And, you know, we used to joke, like, we would have been legends had we been playing in the Garden. We would have been legends had we played had we played in Brooklyn at that time. But, you know, all of those things happen for a reason. And still, I'll say this, the fan base in New Jersey, the people that did support that team, it was huge. And I think one of the things that it helped Brooklyn people when they showed up, when the Nets showed up to Brooklyn, they still remembered all of those good years. And they're like, hey, if we can get something like that here in Brooklyn, we're going to be right behind this team.
Absolutely. We're talking to Richard Jefferson. Can I tell you the best part of the broadcast the other night? Can I just tell you the best part? Oh, my God. When you started talking trash about what you guys used to do to the Knicks, and you said,
oh, I used to kill
them. Oh, this got me so excited. You're like, yeah, we used to go in the Garden and destroy the Knicks, and then when we were done, we would destroy their city. Now,
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, you know, and that was kind of like MJ's thing. That was Michael Jordan's thing, you know, where he used to go play the Knicks and then go down to Atlantic City and do – and that was the thing. Like, our whole thing, because we knew that the Knicks and MSG and all that stuff, like, they always are going to be kind of that fixture in the tri-state area. But for us to go in there and whoop their tail and then to go out that night in that city in the best clubs and eat at the best restaurants and – hang our head up high, and there wasn't a damn thing a Knicks fan could say to us, right? Like, that's like, oh, the Knicks. It's like, wait, what? We just, first of all, we just won the conference 2 years in a row. We've won the division the last 4 years. We just put up 40 points against you, and there was a chance of Nets in the MSG. Is there anything that you guys want to say to us? No. And so that was kind of the thing, and that was what we took pride in, and that's what we looked forward to.
You know, Richard, let me say this.
You're right over there, Joe.
As a Knicks fan, okay, going back to the early 60s, and I got great – I loved you as a player. I tremendous player. You know, when you were at Arizona, all of that, loved it. You know, actually, you know, rooted for you guys to win those finals when you were, you know, when you were in them. But I have no problem that you beat up the Knicks, because the Knicks stunk when you know, when you guys were good, the Knicks weren't any good anyway. But did you have to bring up Michael Jordan? I mean, did you have to bring that up? I mean,
well, no, that's pain,
Richard. That's pain.
What I'm trying to express to you, what I'm trying to express to you, is that there is no greater disrespect than to see an individual not only destroy you on the court, but then also go into a city. If me, young, unmarried Richard Jefferson was talking to the same girl that a Knicks player was talking to,
totally get
who do you think? Who do you think was getting that phone number?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Right.
Who do you think was getting that phone number?
Now, I hope you were doing the same thing in like Portland and like Miami too. I hope you were doing that.
No, but you know what?
It didn't matter as much.
You know what? I'll say this: there was a time in Miami where you could go do that when they were struggling, but more importantly, it was more about the it doesn't matter if we were in New York and New Jersey, we were still kind of fighting for that same fan base.
Right. No, right, right? Of course.
If you were an 8-year-old kid or you were a 10-year-old kid or an 11-year-old kid, even though your dad might have been a Knicks fan, during the playoffs, there was only one team that you could go watch, and that was us.
Yeah.
There was only one team that you could root for during the playoffs, right? And the reason why we took pride in the playoffs also is because there wasn't any more conversation about the Knicks, right? There wasn't.
No, I get it.
It was like during the regular season, you're like, what's wrong with the Knicks? What can the Knicks do?
Right,
okay,
right.
Well, the Knicks season is over. If you're in the tri-state area and there's basketball that you want to watch, you have one of the most exciting teams in the NBA, right? And so that was what we were fighting for. We were fighting to help grow a fan base, and that's how you do it.
Hey, let me give you one piece of advice, not that you need any. Every broadcast, bring in some kind of dig at the Knicks and how much joy you took out of beating them. If you do that every broadcast, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame before this season is over for us Net fans.
I have a lot of respect for that organization,
right.
And but that's why we took so much. That's
of
why
course.
It was so exciting to go play for them. That's why I think my career high on the road is in the Garden. These are the things that we look forward to. If we didn't give a damn about them, we wouldn't look forward to them. And,
right.
And every great coach says the truest sign of respect is to go and beat the crap out of a team, because that means that you were prepared, you were focused,
wow.
And you were locked in. It's like when we didn't respect them, that's when you get blindsided.
Right.
Oh, we're going to get them. They suck. And then they come out there and beat you.
Exactly.
That's a sign of a lack of respect. If you want to show someone respect, then go do to them what you're supposed to.
All right.
You know, Richard, when you were beating up the Celtics in the playoffs, I got to admit, I love that. I got to tell
you. No. It was the same.
I loved you sticking it to the Celtics. I got to tell you that, Richard.
Yeah, see, now the Celtics are different, though. The Celtics are different. When you beat them up, you stayed in your hotel. You didn't want to go out in that city. You didn't want to go out in that city and talk trash, because Celtic fans are a little different, right?
We got to understand, Richard.
Yeah, there's
you're taking your
cities,
life in your hands. I understand.
Yeah, there's certain cities where you can go out there. Like, look, Toronto, one thing that's amazing about Toronto is that their fans just enjoy good basketball, and they just enjoy the environment, right? And so they're like, hey, this is a really good game. But you go to Boston and you beat them, they are not happy with you. They are not happy for any of your success. They want you to get out of town. So it's one of those things, like, you just kind of stay in your hotel.
Right.
You just kind of eat room service in New York or other cities. You can go beat them, and then you can go out to the nicest restaurant, and people will clap their hands or tip their hat to you. That doesn't happen in every city.
So what you're saying is that the Knicks fans are a lot nicer than the Celtic fans.
I would only say because we were kind of blended. We had a blended fan group, right?
We had a blended
fan base. Boston, they don't blend with anyone.
Yeah, right?
Boston does not blend with anyone. And especially, it's like, they're from New York, they're from New Jersey, we don't care. We don't like them.
Right.
And you're just like, all right, hey, listen, man, I'm from actually Arizona. I don't need any problems here. I'll just go about my way.
Now, we get it. Hey, Richard, you're doing a fantastic
terrific stuff,
job.
Richard.
We appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you, pal.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man.
The great Richard Jefferson.
He's stellar.
I mean, that's what he did on the broadcast.
Nah, he's stellar, man.
I'm telling you, he was just sitting there just talking trash.
Yeah, well.
He was talking trash about Kyle Korver.
I love
in the
what he said about the Celtic fans.
Oh, it's so true.
Oh, my God. You think?
It's so true. Oh, yeah. I got more joy.
Only Ernie goes back in the
I know. Because he's crazy.
Puts
his life in his own hands.
At a Patriot Jet game with a Yankee hat on, to top it off.
I don't regret it.
Well, that's because you're alive.
I will not be bullied.
You weren't.